Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
We have two scripture readings this morning. The first is Genesis 1, 1 and 2. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. The second reading is Acts 2, 1 through 4. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We continue to explore the boldness of stating a creed, of saying, I believe. Over the course of just these first few weeks, we're really stepping into the core of the Christian of faith. You may understand that these first 3 weeks, of course, we were talking about God in three persons, God the Creator, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, I said last week, as we talked about Jesus, that early in sort of my outward expression of ministry, a colleague asked me about sort of what I think about Jesus, and we agreed that I have a high Christology. Now, if someone had asked me at that moment if I had a high pneumatology, pneuma, the Spirit, my understanding of God's Holy Spirit at work, I probably would not have said that I had a high sense or a high understanding of God's Holy Spirit. And I would suggest that since then, that for me has changed. In part, just because of my continued study of sacred text, my continued exploration of theology, but also as a good United Methodist following the Wesleyan quadrilateral, understanding my experience of God, I would suggest, at least for me, that my ongoing experience of God is rooted in a growing openness to the work of God's Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit as relatively new. We'll look back perhaps at the story of Pentecost after Jesus said, as Pastor Tara has already reminded us, as Jesus said, now I'm going, but I'm going to send you an advocate, a friend, to be with you and guide you. And often we think, well, that's the arrival, the first arrival of the Holy Spirit. But for those of us, my friends, who are Trinitarian, we might remember that if we understand God fully and completely as Trinity, God the Creator, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, timeless, who, as I think about, has always used the present tense, whether that's been a long time ago or into the future, then we must acknowledge that the Spirit has always been. Did you know that there are roughly 80 to 90 mentions of God's Spirit in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament? 80 or 90. That's more than a few. The Hebrew word is ruach, which can also mean breath. I had the privilege of serving at camp. I've talked about this a little bit over this course of this last week and a half. And one of the young men who was at camp, he's serving as an intern. So he's at camp for, 5 or 6 weeks. That's a long time to be at camp, by the way. I couldn't do that. I love camp, but 5 or 6 weeks, I don't know if I could do that. This young man grew up in a bi-religious household. His father is Jewish. His mother is United Methodist. He has studied both faith traditions because his parents decided that he should be able to seek his religious identity. And he's been to Jewish camp, not just United Methodist camp. And one of the things that he says he really enjoys about many activities in the Jewish camp he's been to is a song that they sing. And it's something that you've heard probably before in a slightly different way. You've maybe heard some sort of chant, "We've got spirit." Yes, we do. "We've got spirit. How about you?" But at Jewish camp, they sing, "We've got ruach." Yes, we do. "We've got ruach. How about you?" Talking about the spirit. Talking about the very air that we breathe is the closeness of God's spirit within us. So as I said, in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, roughly 80 to 90 instances of talking about God's Holy Spirit. And it's not always talked about in the same way. You may know that that word ruach is used in the beginning, in the creation story. We heard just a portion of the creation story from Genesis. And of course, it inspires our memory of the rest of the creation story. But you remember when the first human was created, that we name Adam, even though really that's from the word ha-adam, which is from the earth or the human. That's the literal translation. Ha-adam, the first human, from the earth. But that body is lifeless until God breathes God's breath and spirit into that which is from the earth. And it is then that it has life. You may also remember, or maybe not, that in the book of Judges, the story of Samson, when we think of Samson, we think about the power he derives from his long hair. But do you remember from that story that every time that Samson is faced with danger, the writer of the book of Judges says the Lord's spirit rushed over him. God's spirit in the Hebrew Bible. You may also know that in 2 Samuel, David declares the Lord's spirit speaks through me. His word is on my tongue. God's spirit that inspires our actions and our words. In the case of David, who we sometimes know as King David, perhaps it is God's spirit that inspires our leadership. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God says, "I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." God's spirit inspires us and helps us, reminds us when we turn away. You may remember written by the prophet Joel in the second chapter, and this points us really towards the New Testament, but in Joel the second chapter, the author writes, "I will pour my spirit on everyone. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." God's spirit is so clear. And you've heard me reference this same text as I invite us to dream dreams about the future of La Jolla United Methodist Church. I believe that these must be inspired by God's Holy Spirit. You may remember that Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah when he goes into a place and reads from a scroll. When he says, "The Lord God's Spirit is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, he has sent me to bring good news to the poor." When Jesus says that the Spirit is coming, he probably doesn't speak Greek, but the Greek word that is in the ancient manuscripts is paraclete. Have you heard this word before, paraclete? A friend of mine in a high desert area went to a Catholic high school that was called Paraclete. And at the time, I didn't know it either. It comes from two words, and I had to look this up. It comes from two words, para, which means close by or near or beside. And this is interesting. Kaleo is the Greek word. And do you know what it means? It means call. Can you imagine this spirit that calls to us, that is constantly nearby? I know some of us in the room have studied a bit of process theology and read from Marjorie Suhaki and John Cobb. And process theology would posit that God is always calling us forward. In every situation where we are, in every decision that we face, God is calling us constantly toward the good and toward the right. If we understand this definition of paraclete, this nearby call, this might fit in line with this, in process language, divine lure of a God who is always before us, calling us forward in every moment. Maybe those moments where we're in a hurry and do we want to speed up so we make that light? Maybe in decisions about vocation or how to be around questions of children or grandchildren, questions around our own life, maybe even questions about, well, do I want to come to church this Sunday? Maybe as we face conflict and how we might want to respond to that conflict. Do we consider the possibility that God's Spirit is there calling us in each of these moments? Close, present, and calling. We may remember. You know, I told you in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, 80 or 90 references to God's Holy Spirit. There's too many to count in the New Testament. So I don't have that kind of time. From the very beginning in conversation with John the Baptist, even the arrival of the news of Mary's pregnancy, through the baptism of Jesus as the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, through the time of Pentecost and beyond, God's Spirit is so incredibly present in the New Testament. But did you know the Holy Spirit is present in popular culture as well? Don't we use references to Spirit all the time? Do you know there are major pop songs written about the Holy Spirit? Did you know this? Anybody have a guess the song that I have in mind? All right, Don does. Do you want to say it, Don?
Bring me up
to
the Spirit in the sky.
Ah, Spirit in the sky. That's not the answer I was looking for, and that's great. Thank you for saying it. The one that I have in mind, I think, might surprise you. Any others? Any references to the Holy Spirit in popular culture, music, or anything else?
Firework, Katy Perry.
Oh, Firework by Katy Perry? Not the answer I was going for. That's excellent. That's actually a great song. Didn't we have that song on? Oh, I like to have music playing in the house in the morning. Didn't that song come on this morning? It's part of our morning. We have a playlist that plays in the house in the morning. It's called Morning Groove. And that's in the playlist. Any other pop culture Holy Spirit references that you might be thinking of? Yeah, Gail.
Anything by U2.
Anything by U2 is exactly what I was going for. Okay. You've heard me talk about my favorite rock and roll band. U2 is my second favorite rock and roll band. And I argue that they are an overtly Christian band and nobody's noticed. Every single song has a direct reference to theology or scripture. Every single one. And the song that I'm thinking of is called Mysterious Ways. Do you know the one? Do you know the song? Listen, I got my guitar. It's not what I planned on playing, but if you want to hear it, I got it. Maybe. But let me tell you the song first. Listen, I already have a song in mind to do. Now I got to look up the words. Oh my goodness. I love you people, and you throw me off my game. Here, all right, I'm looking it up now. It's in my covers. I have this wonderful app on here that I have all my catalog of music in. Here we go. The chorus goes, "It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. She moves in mysterious ways. It's all right. Lift my days, light up my nights." But if you listen, especially, you know, songs have a tendency, pop songs have a tendency to fade out at the end, and they have some repetition, right? But if you listen carefully as the music fades out, you hear, she moves in mysterious ways, she moves in mysterious ways. If you're wondering about that pronoun, she, why is the Spirit she? Well, read Song of Songs. Read anything about wisdom writings. The Spirit is so often identified with she pronouns. So you too is being deeply biblical with that reference. And as you hear the words, as the song fades out, they even say directly, the Spirit moves in mysterious ways. I'm telling you, this band is an overtly Christian band. How do we know? How do we know that the Spirit is in our lives? How do we know that the Spirit is in our midst? Because there are so many ways that the Spirit is referenced, and sometimes we think about that still small voice, right? Again, a biblical reference. Or a theological reference in our United Methodist tradition, that strange warming of our hearts. Those gentle nudges that perhaps are the signs of what it is that we are called by that nearby Spirit to do. But are there outward expressions of the Spirit? You know, my favorite Bible stories seem to center around the Spirit. And you've heard me say how much I love the story of Pentecost. But maybe you've also heard me say how much I love the story that's written in both Acts 10 and 11, where the Apostle Peter goes into a home of Gentiles. He's not supposed to be in there. He becomes ritually unclean if he enters this house. But he finds himself closely called to go into this place. And he tells them his stories about Jesus, and he sees God's Spirit in these people, and he realizes that these are God's people too. These Gentiles, who his whole life he's been told are outsiders. He sees God's Spirit, and he realizes that these are God's people too. That's Acts 10. You know what happens in Acts 11? It's just a quick little aside. The whole story is told twice because he is put on what I would call church trial. He's put on church trial. The church leaders say, "Hey, what's wrong with you? Why'd you go into those Gentiles' house?" He tells the story and they say this: if God gives these Gentiles the same gifts that were given to us in the beginning, who are we to question God? Amen. Amen. But what does that look like? What does that look like to see the Spirit in people? Well, sometimes you just see those people who are like, "Oh my gosh, I see God in you." You do these incredible things. You live out this incredible life. You're so generous with your energy and your time and your spirit and your love. But Paul helps us enumerate those a little bit. Have you seen where Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit? This is in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm going to read them again more slowly. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul reminds us that when we see these gifts in one another, we are seeing God's Holy Spirit. And these are wonderful and they're helpful for us, and they're not so specific that there aren't so many beautiful ways that we can see God's Spirit in others. I tell you, I often experience God's Spirit in inspiration. I see God's Spirit in the way new things pop up. or the way I feel inspired to try a new thing. Do you know the Christian song, don't jump right on this, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone? Do you know that version of the song? Okay. It takes the original lyrics of the classic hymn Amazing Grace. If you're a musician, you understand that then he changes the time signature. But then this is Chris Tomlin who does this. Then he wrote some extra words for it. He wrote a chorus. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Do you know these words? Some of you know these words. It was released as a popular Christian song. I'm not going to sing it for you today, but we'll bring it in sometime. Does that work for you all? Our primary musicians over here, we'll bring that song in sometime. This is something that a lot of Christian artists have done. And I confess to you why I brought my guitar, because I've done this too. Because I took a classic hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Do you know this hymn? Breathe on me, breath of God. And then I changed the time signature. And then I added a set of words that take it from a song about breath, and I sing it as a song about spirit. Would you indulge me? May I sing this for you?
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Holy Spirit, fall on me, give me grace and set me free, fill me with your love and power. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Holy Spirit, fall on me, give me grace and set me free, fill me with your love and power. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. Holy Spirit, fall on me, give me grace and set me free, fill me with your love and power. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, fall on me, give me grace and set me free, fill me with your love and power. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breathe on me.
Sometimes I'm accused of embracing change too much, and that's a fair accusation. But one of the things I love to do is take what's rich and beautiful about our tradition and try to see it and experience it a new way. Our classic hymns are beautiful and offer us such rich theology. How can we look and experience these hymns in ways that might be heard by young and new ears? And what else can we do that comes from rich and beautiful theology and rich and beautiful tradition and reframe it and retool it in such a way that it can land and connect with the next generation and the next generation? How can we do those things? And my answer to you is this: by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be empowered. Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to sing. It would sound like a very bad country song, so don't worry. No, I came up here because here at La Jolla United Methodist Church, I learned you do this this really amazing thing, this response to the word, because it's not enough just to hear the word if it doesn't change our lives, if we don't respond to it in some way. And so what I just heard Pastor Bob say, I had a few ideas about how we could respond to the word. The first one that came to mind that I love is that wisdom literature refers to the Holy Spirit in the feminine. So I think one way we could respond to the word is to listen to the wisdom of women this week. That was just a personal plug. Thank you. But second, I think I was thinking about the Holy Spirit as a friend, like I said, to the kids. Holy Spirit as a helper, the Holy Spirit guiding us and calling us forward, and seeing that Holy Spirit in others, maybe even in unexpected places or people that we wouldn't normally think to see God's Holy Spirit. So I think that's what we could do this week. As you're going about your week, whether it's the coffee shop, the beach, anywhere, just take a moment to take in your surroundings. Take a moment to look maybe at the person making coffee, the person on the beach, whoever it is, and take a moment to appreciate them and see God's loving Holy Spirit within them. And then maybe see how you can be a friend to them as well.